a little bit about your day so I can get your levels?
I woke up with extreme knee pain and then pieced that together with what, and then my friends told me how many times I fell, and then I was like, that checks out.
Oh,
and then we drove home around like 10 a.m.
Wow.
And then I've been watching episodes of 90 Day Fiancé trying to nap. And debating if I should read this book I got.
That's such an early departure time from Palm Springs.
Yeah, but like we were talking about that. Like, are you the kind of person that would actually be on like the last day on vacation? Like, it's already over. Like, who's the people that are like, you know what, a couple more hours? Like, at that point, don't you want to be home?
I'm usually like, I like a 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. departure. I'm a late checkout person always. Like, no matter what the checkout time is, I'm always going to call and be like, can I make it later?
So it's just a game at this. But
it's always a game.
But do you enjoy those hours? Because in my head, all I do is just think about then that departure. So, like, no matter what, I'm still having to leave at some point, so it's just there in my mind.
When you're just a late checkout only, you never actually have to leave at the departure. Like, I don't view it as, like, a sentencing. I just view it as, like, you're trying to challenge my authority, and I'm here to tell you that I refuse to leave.
See, I feel like that's probably why you're, like, a happier person and more, like, free in your everyday life.
DVD on the happiness. Let's not get too ahead of ourselves here.
But I genuinely think that's, like, how I kind of view life, is that, like, let's just get this over with, you know? So, like,
we
had 2 days of fun. Now it's time to get back to work. And work is just literally getting in your car and driving home.
Yeah, no, I'm a little more, like, I'm going to let the fun go and go and go until it just has all run out, and then I'm going to be devastated about it being over.
Have you ever had the weekends where it's like you judge, like, Sunday was fun, but Saturday was funner? Like,
yeah.
You know, where you're like, it was good, but it wasn't as good as, and can we ever get back to that most fun day?
Yeah, you'll never get back to the most fun day.
Is the most fun day usually the first day, or is it surprise you sometimes it's like the third day?
I think sometimes it's like the second or the third, because sometimes, depending on who you're on a trip with, it takes a while for everyone to get comfortable with everyone else's lols, get to know each other. Maybe you need one night of just kind of easing into like a drunkenness, druggy state.
Yeah.
Then the second or third night, you might have a plan in place. So you're like, okay, we're fucking gung-ho on this plan. We all know each other's backstories, and we're just going to like ride or die until someone literally goes to the hospital. And then that's when you're just like, yes. And you just go, go, go. And then last day is kind of like, wow, we are such good friends now. We like had this great time together. And then like maybe one of us has like a broken bone or like fell down. But
that's what I felt like. So like I fell. So I had like a torn ACL like many years ago. And I like, I don't know, like I'm just also a really like a person that falls everywhere. Like I'm not graceful in anything. Like, it's not like you'd look at me like, that's crazy. You do look graceful. I don't look graceful. I bump into everything.
You're accident prone.
Yeah. And so like I had like a White Claw girl summer this weekend where I was just like pounding White Claws.
What is White Claw? Everyone's
it's a hard
into
seltzer.
Them.
Okay. It's like, so there's like White Claw and Truly is another hard. Like, there's a lot of, like, even Natty Light has like a hard seltzer now.
Wow.
Which is just, so it's like a whole different ball game. But I was like pounding those, and then we went to shots, and then we were in the pool playing I Never, which was like super fun. And then I was like, you know what? I'm not going to pee in the pool. I'm going to go pee inside.
That's
and
a grown-up decision. You're being,
by
like,
the way, nobody
that's
can
really
argue.
Nice of you to do.
Nobody can argue that I'm not growing.
Yeah.
And so I got up and I was like, I'm extremely weird with my body. Like the fact that I even went in the pool, I was like super psyched about, because I'm usually like just like I wear a burka in a pool. Like,
are you like a t-shirt in the pool guy?
No, I'm not like that. No, I mean, but thank you for no, because like
well, I'm going to clarify like levels of guy body weirdness is like refuse to get undressed and even go in the pool. Just like hang out on the periphery, maybe legs in the pool. Then there's like, will go in the pool, but wears a t-shirt, which is like, you might as well.
Yeah, you're
just
like,
say,
it's a target.
Like, I hate myself so much.
The t-shirt says I hate myself on
which
it.
Which is like, that's more awkward than just being like in the pool in regular.
I think that's the thing
gear.
About getting older is that like you do hit that point of like, well, fuck it, you know, like it's not getting any better and I do want to enjoy the pool.
Yeah,
but like I also used to weigh over 300 pounds. Like I was
really
I was obese, and so like I always will look at myself as like a 350-pound dude. Like, okay. And Laura's like, whoa, horrified, sorry. Right? Like, she's like, no. What? Watch where you step. Yeah, like, no. And
I just didn't know that about your
hey,
history.
Tubby, watch that couch.
Yeah. I'm like, really dug myself into a corner right now. Yeah, I'm like, wait, just what? Excuse me?
Wait, why are your nails digging into that?
Oh, man. No, like, so anyways, no,
I always
crazy,
view
anyways.
Myself as that fat guy. So, like, the pool, like, when I hear that, like, pool's always, like, were the bane of my existence. Yeah. And like, I grew up in Kansas and you'd go to that, like the town pool.
Mm-hmm.
And it would just be like, my parents would like take us the kid, like me and my sister on the summer. And I would just be like, no, please. And I would just be that guy, like reading Stephen King books by the pool with my like shirt. And like,
yeah,
I still wear mainly like sports jacket. Like I always wear a piece over a t-shirt just mm-hmm. because anyways,
you're so, not in a place of just t-shirt yet.
No, no. Like, and so I.
But every day is a new opportunity to get closer and closer to maybe just a t-shirt.
To like,
maybe.
Yeah. Wait, by the way, didn't Tony Soprano, like, he was like a t-shirt in the pool guy. Wasn't he?
Was he? No, he was like a wife beater. Well, he wore a robe in the pool the
yeah,
first
that's
time
what I'm
we
saying.
Saw him. But
he
that was like he
he's
was
sensitive
just like
about his body too.
He was kind of like just a depressed guy, so he went in the pool one day fully clothed. But yeah. I think he was then t-shirt off, and he's a man in his own pool.
So where I blew
he
it,
he wouldn't wear though. James Gandolfini like wouldn't wear form-fitting clothes towards the end of The Sopranos. Like he had a very specific rule about what kind of fabric.
He was
sensitive about his body and his weight. I'm like, James, the bigger the better, my man.
Why did Laura just try to high five me? Like, yeah. No. So where I blew it though was that I was in the pool playing I Never, and then it was like, then you have that thing of like, I don't want to get out of the pool and show my body. You know, like, so you yeah. have to, like, strategically pick
also,
the right
is
time.
It a pool where you have to, like, lift yourself out of the pool?
No, thankfully, okay. No. Like, you can
that's
lightly,
awkward
like,
for
step
anyone.
Up. But I always, like, then I was doing this thing every time I had to go to the bathroom where I would grab the towel immediately and, like,
okay.
like almost like
zero chill.
Almost, don't tell totally,
absolutely
not cool.
no chill.
But I was the guy, like, putting the towel, like above the nipples. Yeah. You know, like, I was like a lady getting out of the shower, you know? And then I would put my t-shirt on and then drop the towel.
Okay.
And I thought this was like, oh, nobody's noticing
this. That's the
this.
Way to
perfect.
Go. Perfect.
Okay,
yeah. Got it.
So then I was extremely hammered last night and I was like, I gotta pee. I'm not gonna do it in the pool. And we had been doing shots and stuff. And I got up and I was doing that maneuver with the towel. And I was going to put my t-shirt on. And like, I guess I had happy feet. My feet slipped on the, and like, I don't remember this. People were kind of telling me this part, mm-hmm. where they were like, yeah, we heard your knee pop. And then,
yeah.
you know, and then you just, also my other thing is like, when I do those things, I immediately go, I'm good. Everybody don't worry. And I would hopped up and like tried to walk to the door. And my friend's wife said, hey, that's marble. Don't slip on. And then I fell again on the marble inside. And so eventually I was just like crawling. Like, and then I guess I crawled.
You
they
have no
crawl.
Limbs left. Like, oh, your yeah. femur is fully through your skin.
But by the way, I looked completely skinny. So everybody was like, oh, you look great. Yeah. 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 And then I just like, yeah, it was horrible. So anyways, yeah, my knee is
I've been
messed.
There. That happened to me on my 30th birthday. I was in Mexico with a bunch of friends. And then I was doing the opposite of what you were doing in the pool, where I said, I'm spending this whole weekend like pretty much naked, so everyone just needs to like get on board with that.
See, you truly
and
living life.
Then after many shots, it was the second night, like most fun night of the trip, or third night, most fun night of the trip. Then I was like walking back to the pool with like a fresh cocktail and was like really feeling it, like put on a red lip, like was ready, and then just slammed onto my knee, and cocktail and all just fell into the pool, like hit the knee first and then just rolled. But then I love just like, I'm fine, everything's fine, and then like play through the pain.
Yeah, I mean, it was unfortunate, because then you're like, then my other friend that I was with, Nick, who got the house, he like, we woke up the next day and I woke up like on a couch at like 3:30 in the morning, and you're kind of like, how did I get here? And then like, that's why not, does my knee yeah. hurt this bad? And then you have those couple hours where you're like really scared of like people waking up and telling you what happened. Like,
okay.
You're like, oh no. And you're like trying to piece together clues of like looking around. And you're disoriented, and then you wake up the next morning. I woke up this morning, and Nick was like, "Hey, man, I'm sorry about last night." And I'm like, "What did we fight? What did we do?" And he's like, "No, man, I got tanked. I got blackout." And I was like, "Oh, you really gotta pull yourself together, man."
Yeah,
like, you know. But I was like really excited that somebody possibly was worse than me.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like a fun weekend.
It was like
that's a boys party weekend.
Well, there were girls there too, which I don't think, like, by the way, this isn't a good
group
look. This
party
is horrible.
Weekend.
Yeah, this is a horrible look. This is not.
I wouldn't say, I'm not going to put a judgment on it. I would just say it's like,
we've been friends for like 20 years.
Yeah. Well, that's what you do with
those
friends.
Like, I wouldn't do
you
this
get,
around.
Like, shitty.
Yeah, if there were a bunch of strangers, I wouldn't be that, you know, you pick your battles.
Yeah.
But like, on Nick, I was telling you this earlier, it's like, he's now doing this thing as he, I know he doesn't listen, so I'm good. Like, he does this thing now, his wife was telling me, where he will, like, in the middle of the night, he was trying to pee behind the full-length mirror in their bedroom, and she'll wake up, and she'll be like, "Nick, stop, you're peeing," and he goes, "No, I got it, and then he goes, and then he moved to a different area of the room and tried to pee there. And it's like, you know, big guy trying to maneuver.
Yeah.
But he's now done that a couple times. Like, they have a cat named Sky Baby. And the cat, they just got it. And Nick has never had an animal before. And he really was trying. He got home early, like 10:30. And he got trashed with, like, his work people. And he passed out. And the next day he asked his wife, "Was I bad last night?" She's like, "No, you're great." And then the wife went into the bathroom. And there was, she goes, Oh, no. Something's wrong with Sky. And he's like, and as soon as he heard Sky's name, he was like, had a flash of something. And he's like, "Sky, there's something urinary wrong. There's a urinary." And I guess the litter box was just flooded. And she's like, "Oh my God, we got to get." And he goes, No. I think I know what happened. And he was just like, "Oh, fuck. And then he remembered that he, oh.
Oh, wow.
Oh,
that
was I was
bad.
Like, that really scared me. It's like Nick knows I'm talking about.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
We had to take a quick break because Saucy just arrived. And also, welcome to Babe. P.S.
Yes. Oh,
if you've been here, you're already on the journey.
Yes.
You're with us. You didn't turn off the pod. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
I'm Lara, your host. And with me is Ryan Bailey. You're not a three-namer on, like, podcasts, are you?
No, just I had to be Ryan Kyler Bailey because SAG, there was a Ryan Bailey
there
already. So it sounds – and when I was younger, I thought that was cool. And now I realize how – it's only cool if you became successful. And, like,
yeah.
I'm not there yet. So it's, like, kind of douchey.
I feel kind of douchey with a three-name, too. But now I feel like I committed to it. And it was from a numerologist telling me that I should.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I was like, okay, I'm going to do this. But then recently I've been like, this is douchey. Like, because I don't go by Lara Marie. I just go by Lara. But it's whatever. What's done is done.
Yeah.
And now I'm not going to go back. I'm not, like, one to
sent out like a mass
a
email like,
phone.
"Hey guys, call me Lara Shainalls now and let's"
everyone pretty much does anyways.
I know a guy at work that's changed his I work at an acting studio and he's changed his name now. I've been there 12 years. He's changed his name four times.
Is 40? It
4?
Oh my
but
God.
his new name the last couple years has been Kildare, and I'm like, what a like okay. He went from Casey to Kildare, and I'm just like,
Kildare is a first name or just
yeah, first
two
name.
Names?
But I'm just like, wow.
Is
like,
that like an Irish thing?
No, I think it's from like the Three Musketeers. Like, but I'm just like, when you're like when you're
hey,
involved
babe,
with like actors,
I have some good acting advice for you. Quit.
When you're involved with actors, though, all that kind of shit, you're just like, it doesn't even, it's like water rolling off my back.
Yeah,
it doesn't even phase me. I'm just
change
like,
change names all the time.
But the thing was, like, I'll still call him Casey because I won't, I'm like, come on, you know what? I'm grown up. I'm not going to call you Kildare, you know?
Yeah.
Like, even though he's like I get corrected about it and stuff.
Yeah, any good friends of mine who, like, if they ever have to introduce me at places, they don't honor the three name policy, which I've noted, and I'm like, oh, you're not gonna respect this choice that I made based on a numerologist's prediction. But that's fine. And you know what?
So you're telling me you don't love numerology?
Yeah, not only do you not respect numerology, but you don't respect me, but that's okay.
I can't do this with you, dude. Wait, real quick about that cat story.
Okay, so the cat, wait, so, can you imagine thinking that your cat just flooded a litter? Like, that's not even possible for an animal to have that much liquid in
them.
He's
an angel, like so into this cat and like... such a huge deal. And yeah, like I think in her mind,
I thought
she
you were
was
gonna
just,
say he like stomped the cat.
Oh god, no,
that would have taken
I mean
a
in
dark
some
turn.
Ways this is much worse, I feel, but like he said he remembered, and then he was like no, he was like fuck. He what he did was that he got home drunk and he was going to pee, and the cat, you know, was living in the bathroom at the time because mm-hmm. you're supposed to acclimate it to the house.
Yeah.
And he started talking to the cat and saying like, hey, we're the same. Like, you, I'm not your owner. Like, we're family. Like, mm-hmm. and we're the same. And he thought the way to show the cat that was to piss in the litter box.
Okay.
And he thought, and then he goes, and then we watched this Planet Earth documentary the next day. Turns out cats have like 400 times the smells that, like, I mean, they can smell like things like 400 times more. Like, it's crazy. So he's like, the cat's never been in the bathroom since. Like, completely ruined.
Really?
Yeah, like, completely
like, no
ruined.
Way. That's like when a cat pisses somewhere and then you smell it forever, because, you know, cat piss just like lingers. Yeah. I like that he did that cat troll to a cat.
But it was kind of like, I mean, like nobody really has stepped to a cat like that.
Mm-mm.
I mean, so in a way.
Dominance. Establishing dominance.
There was. Okay. This is like, this just makes me sound like such a trash person. But like there was a wedding. Like, have you ever had those like... This sounds bad, and like I repeatedly black out. I don't. I'm just telling you the stories where I've done it.
This is a podcast where you can talk freely about blacking out.
So,
and you're not going to get an intervention from me. So,
think about how horrified I like told you like I am with my body. Okay, so I was at a wedding near Santa Barbara, and I was like the I was the not the priest, but the officiant.
The officiant, yeah.
I joined the clergy to marry my friends.
I went online.
I've never had sex.
To that one site.
No, I'm like Universal Life Church, which is they'll just give it to everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, I deserve it. But so I went to this wedding, officiated, and then it was an open bar. All of like it's the same group of friends. We all get crazy. And then we like somebody passed around a joint, and like weed is like, for me, it's a very personal thing where I usually only smoke if I'm in the comfort of my bed, because mm-hmm. I'm not like amazing on weed. Like some people like it really feeds them, and
it's a way for things to get weird. Like, it's a way for me to leave a social situation quickly, as if I get like, if I think that I can handle being stoned and then I realize like you cannot. But there is a certain point where if I've had enough to drink, but I'm not like creepy drunk, it's like this real sweet spot where then I'm like, bring on the fucking weed. And then it's just like amazing. But it's like,
it's you never know.
I can't,
but that's
what
I'm saying.
Predict when that beautiful moment is.
But then it's
be.
Like walking like a high wire. Like, you just don't know which like one you're going to get. So it's like really scary. But then, so obviously I wasn't thinking about this at this time. We'd had a bunch of tequila shots and I smoked a couple hits of the joint. Thought I was great. Went back to the hotel. And I remember wanting, like, they gave out cookies as, like, their wedding gift on the table or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I, like, all I remember was just wanting a cookie. Like, and then, you know, like, when you're, like, high and drunk, like, your thoughts, and you just, like, woke up for, like, an hour, like, you fall asleep for an hour that you didn't plan, and then you're like, fuck. And then I remember having to go pee. And then I was like, and then, like, okay, so just, I woke up the next morning, and immediately I was like, because I had this image of me naked in a hallway. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, why would I be naked in a hallway? Like that, but it wasn't like a dream image. It was like, this really happened. And I was like, no fucking way. No way.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, what? And then I was like, I pieced together, like, I had to pee. Mind you, there is a bathroom in my hotel room.
Yeah.
But I was like, Oh, God, the bathroom's on the third floor. Got to get to the third floor.
Ooh, a challenge.
Stripped all my clothes off. Don't know why I did that. And, like, I'm super weird with body issues. So I'm outside of, I'm on the second floor.
Of your hotel.
Of the hotel.
So you're streaking
I'm,
at this
well,
point.
Well, no, I'm walking very confidently and casually, you know.
In the nude.
In the nude.
On and the then, way to the third floor.
Yeah, because, like, and I'm even so calm that I try to take the elevator.
Mm-hmm.
And then
no.
the elevator's not coming fast enough, so I'm like, And then in my stupid head, I'm thinking, you know what? You do need the exercise. Why don't you take the steps?
Okay.
And so I take the steps. I go to the third floor. There's no bathroom on the third floor. But in my head, the bathroom is the trash can in front of the elevator.
Okay.
So then I just start peeing in the trash can. I do my business. I walk back downstairs. And then I'm like, when I'm walking downstairs, I go, fuck, I didn't bring my keys. Like, to get in the hotel. And then I go, and then I get to the door, and I'm like, and then I realize, wait a second, you thought ahead. I had flipped the safety lock, and I'm like, dude, you're thinking. That you're very smart.
That like, is amazing.
Yeah, like, so don't think anything about me being naked, and then I pass back out. And so then I remember, like, all of this. And all I can think is I have to check out, and, like, there's video cameras on every floor.
Yeah.
Like, there's video cameras pointed right at the elevators, and there's no fucking way you will not notice
a fully nude man.
A nude man peeing in a trash can. Like, not even panicked. Just, like, openly peeing.
I think if you're not bothering anyone and it's, like, a totally non-interactive journey, what's the harm? You made it. You
peed. Wait, do we really want to live in a society where, like, people are just randomly pissing and, like...
I'm sure lots of people are pissing every... Like, guys pee everywhere. Like, guys just are freely peeing. No, that's, like, not shocking to me that you wake up in a fugue blackout state and then just, like, go try and pee in a corner somewhere. Like, if I had a dick,
bathroom.
I'd do the same
like,
thing.
I had a bathroom.
Yeah, but...
I mean, I really appreciate you being positive about this, but, like, I just...
I think you handled it well.
With grace?
Like, grace.
Would you say grace?
Yeah,
style?
Totally,
yeah.
Gracefully. And, like, in the most mature way you possibly could, given your state of mind at that
moment. I just picture it's, like, Bigfoot of just, like, looking behind, you know? Like, that Bigfoot, like, photo of just him, like, looking out. Like,
I love how calm.
But I'm not that in my normal life. That's
yeah.
what's crazy. Like... I
Maybe
kind of wish I was more like that guy.
You. Like I, your essence is this, like,
yeah,
naked.
Like, if I was comfortable
in the
with nudity
guy.
And stuff, that'd be so cool, I think. Like, I do admire the people that are like, I mean, I don't admire nudists, but there is something nice to be like people that are free with your body, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think there is something really charming about that.
Yeah. I think there's a time
we'll
and a place.
We'll cut this out. I mean, we cut all this out.
Yeah,
we
could. Like, let's just start over. Let's just take it
Jeffrey
right back
Epstein.
To the beginning.
Yeah.
But you were asking me about my why I'm watching Tana videos.
Oh, yes.
Because I fucking love Tana.
Why? Okay.
I didn't know anything about her other than her dating Bella Thorne. But then I just watched... Something popped up, like her vlog of her marriage weekend to Jake Paul. And then
oh, yes.
I was like, I watched that. And then I was like, wait, I like love this girl. Like, I'm really into her chaotic, messy life.
You hear this, Christine? Do you hear this? Showed me all these Tana videos and I don't get it. I don't get it. I want to get it so bad. And
I
don't
either get it or you don't. Because, like, I'm sure you have people or, like, celebrities that you really love.
Oh, are you about to say Adam Duritz from Counting Crows? Is that what you're about to say?
No, because I'm also a Duritz head, too.
I mean, is that crazy that
it's weird that he shaved his head.
I get it, everybody. It's a wig. I know it's a wig. Don't come at me. I know it's a wig.
Yeah, he's, like, the only guy that it's kind of acceptable. Like, his white dreadlock look
yeah,
is, like, gets a pass. Because
like,
I'm just like, you look so fucking stupid that, like, you just get to do it. And it's kind of your thing and your signature look. So, like,
I really feel it's
going to
hurt attendance
you?
At those concerts. Like, because I followed Crows around like you do with the Dead.
Yeah.
Except it's just, like, on a way smaller scale in
mm-hmm.
terms of, like, their attendance. And, like, you know when you're, like, fans of a band for, like, since you were a kid. So, you kind of just have to, like, continue to be fans of theirs.
Yeah.
And, like, you just have to, like... You have to watch this guy get made fun of like so for dating the cast of Friends and for like his hair and stuff. But then when he shaved it, I didn't realize how emotional, like that's like, that just means like we all are growing up. We're so close to death.
Yeah.
That's dark.
We're edging towards death.
Yeah, I mean, like, he's closer than I am. He's way older than I am. But, like, it just made me sad because I'm like, nothing lasts.
It's
nothing is forever.
It's a mortality wake-up call.
Yeah.
And it's also, like, it's like his biblical... I just forgot who that guy was in the Bible with the hair.
Wait, was Adam Duritz in the Bible? Yeah.
No, remember that Bible guy? It's kind of cool that I... No, the guy... Why am I, like, blanking on this? I'm like, am I having an aneurysm?
Do you smell burnt almonds? Are you having a stroke?
The guy in the Bible who grew his hair out, and then he cut
it. You talking about Seth Rogen? Who are you talking about?
In the Old Testament, there's a guy...
There's a hairdresser section?
There's a hair guy who has, like, long, lustrous mane, and, like, God is like, never cut your hair. And then he meets, like, some Jezebel, and she's like, cut your hair.
There's no way this exists. It probably does. I'm just
this
not...
This is a Bible story. You're absolutely right. It doesn't exist in real life. It's a story from the Bible. But, like...
Jax knows this story.
Why am I, like... I used to be such a Bible drill gal, but...
Were you a Bible head?
Yeah, I was. I did Bible drill, which is like competitive.
Oh, yes, because of your
because
family.
Of my upbringing.
Yeah,
growing up Baptist, and then I was in Bible drill, which is like competitive Bible, where you just they're like look up Corinthians 3:12, and then you're like, and whoever can get there fastest, and then like read the Bible verse wins. I would compete in Bible drill, so I used to know all this shit.
You weren't a bully, though, about it. Like, you weren't, like...
I was not a Christian bully, no.
I mean, yeah, you weren't, like, a bring it on, like, but just with Bible verses, like,
no,
a cheerleader.
No, I was not, like... It was just,
wow,
like, quietly
you really, that's,
competitive.
I could totally see you being, like, really... Not in, but, like, just very good at it.
Yeah, I was good
committed.
At church for a little while
I was
while
good
I
at
cared,
church.
But then...
I was an altar boy growing up as
really?
A Catholic.
I'm like, that explains.
You're such an asshole. No, nothing ever happened to me. Like, I was, like, not... I mean, this sounds horrible. I was not, like... I did...
Grow, it was just, like, a sweet,
if there
cool
was
Catholic
parties going on,
do.
If, like, kids were getting touched, like... That's horrible. If kids were, like... I wasn't invited to any of that.
Yeah.
You know, like, I was never invited to any of that stuff. But I used to, like, remember being an altar boy and just sitting up there watching, and I would have these elaborate fantasies. Like, you remember... Do you remember... Did you ever see that movie Teen Wolf? Teen Wolf 2 with Justin
no,
Bateman.
I never saw that.
There was like this part where like he wolfed out and like he's just so cool and he does do you love me?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And he does like a lip sync, and but like all the girls at college are like, it's like this choreographed dance, and I used to like fantasize about wolfing out in the middle of church.
Yeah.
And then doing, but it wasn't like Do You Love Me? It was going to be Let's Go Crazy by Prince.
Okay, that would be a good song.
And like everybody
Dearly
like,
Beloved.
Yeah, we got the day to day. Yeah, like and like everybody, like the priest is like putting me on his shoulders, like, yeah, and everybody's just so pumped that I'm like just I'm really giving it my all. But like I'd have these elaborate fantasies just sitting up there.
That
and
would
then,
be a beautiful moment.
But like, because it really, in the movie, if you see Teen Wolf 2, which I don't recommend anybody seeing, there's like you, it really makes you think like a good lip sync song can like change somebody's life.
Well, yeah. And I feel like it's always guys in 80s movies that were having like the amazing lip sync moments, like Ferris and Ferris Bueller's Day Off,
oh,
raised
God,
in the Chicago Parade. Yeah. There's nothing like a powerful lip sync.
I mean,
not for me. I think for girls, it's more of like a dancing down the street in like a cool way, like Kirsten Dunst when she's in her like
Marie Antoinette. No,
not Marie Antoinette. Drop Dead Gorgeous when she's like always tapping down the street or like just like coolly breaking out into dance. Like for me, my fantasy is to like break into Dance at the Grove and then just like do a full choreographed dance like to some really great song. At
do
the
you
Grove.
Ever? Flash mobs? Did you ever get involved in that? Like,
no. That's not for me.
Yeah, me either. That's stupid.
Were you a flash mobber?
No, God. What again? Could you imagine? No, I'm a flat earther and I'm a flash mob truther. Yeah,
flash mobs are truly. I'm like, why? I'm like, why would anyone want to do this?
Yeah, I mean, no.
I understand, but I am also like, your life must be so empty. If, like,
well, it's the same people that like do the choreographed things down the aisle at the wedding.
Yeah.
You know, like, have you seen, no offense if anybody's like, but like, have you ever seen that where they're like, ladies and gentlemen, the, like right while they're getting married, and like, have you ever seen like a big dance production wedding thing?
Probably on like YouTube or something.
I think I'm having a stroke now. Like, this is.
I'm like, I stay away from any sort of choreographed, but, okay, like, group content.
But back to Tana, though. What do you find charming about somebody that I think is so vapid and like, I don't understand why everybody loves her? And the.
I don't think everybody loves her. I think she's like, people. She's polarizing. I think a lot of those YouTube kids are polarizing.
Interesting enough to be polarizing.
But the interesting thing is just like her existence. Like the fact that
the fact that she exists is fascinating.
Yeah.
But that's what a lot of these YouTubers, I feel like it's just, we're fascinated that this is actually happening.
But it's also like, from what I've gathered, and I've yet to watch all of Tana's videos. I probably watched like three of them so far, but this is what I've gleaned, is that she grew up really poor in Las Vegas, or outside of Las Vegas, which is already like, fuck your life, like you're doomed. But then somehow just was talking to her computer. People liked what she was saying and like the content she was doing. And then she's been able to like build a whole life and like break out of that.
Christine told me she started off as like a certain type of YouTuber. Like there's like types, and hers was like telling
Story time.
That's it.
Did she invent story time?
I don't know, but she said she was like,
she's
a story time
storyteller,
and she like had a crazy life, and then it just like built from there. Like, are you a David Dobrik head?
I don't know who that is. The YouTuber men kind of like
don't do
I'm
it for you.
Really TBD. The Paul brothers kind of fascinate me more, so Logan than Jake.
Well, Logan's the one that did the, like the Death Woods thing. You, by the way, she goes, yeah. Like she's like crushing hard. She's like, my man is funny.
No, I'm like, again, I'm more into like the women, like Emma Chamberlain, love her journey. She's like young. I think she's like 18 or something. She like vlogs.
Well, a lot of those YouTubers come to my acting school because that's the thing. They don't know how to act.
Yeah.
So, like, they're so good at being themselves, but if you give them written words on a paper that aren't their story, they are so wooden, and it's, like, so foreign to them.
I don't think that they should act.
Well, they're
getting the most
opportunities right now.
I know,
but
I think that they need to not act. Like, I don't think that they will ever be like true actors, because you have too much access to their life to like I think the thing that makes a really good actor is mystery. Like Leonardo DiCaprio, we don't know shit about him really, except that he dates like really hot
and
young
he loves
ladies
vaping.
And he loves to vape.
Yeah.
But like, and like wear newsboy caps.
Yes, he did. He did invent the newsboy cap.
He like still, his like diehard commitment to a newsboy cap is something that I have no choice but to respect at this juncture.
Brad Pitt looks better in a newsboy cap. Like, it is weird that like DiCaprio's considered the, like,
he and Brad are the ultimate movie star men.
But isn't
like,
it funny that DiCaprio is considered the ugly one in that movie?
I know, that's shocking.
Like, isn't that weird? Like, DiCaprio, he must not have thought, he's like, oh, this might have been a bad move. Like, people are calling me the ugly one.
But, like, we don't know anything about them other than when they, like, deign to give an interview.
We know he likes
or do,
to
like,
fuck. Yeah.
Yeah, like, press. But a lot of it is just, like, oh my God, they're, like, sexy mystery people. Like, Kate Moss is, like, an amazing model because she also, like, we don't know anything about her, so she can kind of just like be and like do her thing.
Yeah.
I think the YouTubers can't super, I don't see acting as a real avenue for them, like movie star. Well, but I think the movie star is dying off.
Oh yeah,
by
the way, Brad Pitt and DiCaprio are I feel like the last of that type.
But like, I would love to see them being themselves, or like hosting a TV show, or like having a long career.
Like America's
outside.
Funniest Home Videos or something.
Yeah, like there's, I'm sure, a lot of opportunity for them to do whatever that fucking like Rob Dyrdek guy is doing.
Or
like anything
guy?
That's been like just like mediocre straight men have cornered the market on hosting MTV shit. Like, let's hand it over to the YouTube.
But also, why does MTV just play that show? Like,
Why do they love that show? Really love that show.
I was trying to tape The Hills, and I was just having to scroll to when it was on, and I noticed it was like two straight days of that show. What is that show? It's like,
I don't understand.
Uncensored,
it.
Like, but it's like two
it's
straight
like
days.
Clips of YouTube videos.
Well, it's
or
like
something.
the It's
and the, a panel. I'm really unclear.
It's like, yeah, I mean, I've
actually
watched
never watched an episode because I was just like, I'm not.
It just seems so basic and so tragic that there are people that are sitting there going, fuck yes, I love this shit.
MTV is really in the shitter.
I mean,
I hope that anyone.
Did you watch the VMAs?
No.
That's okay. What's your opinion on Miley Cyrus?
I love her, and I'm here for a relationship with Caitlyn Carter.
Sure.
I'm like 100% down. I think she's an amazing singer and a performer. And like,
I'm bangers era Miley only, and I'm starting to think that she's not going to find. I watched her on the VMAs.
Sound again?
Yeah, I feel like her sounds are like, is she country? Is she this? I just like bangers Miley, and I feel like she did this new song about her relationship ending, and I just. It was, I guess it was like all dramatic and stuff, and I watched it, and it just, I felt nothing. Like,
You're not here for like ballad Miley. I like Wrecking
Ball. No, Wrecking Ball's an amazing song. I am here for ballad Miley. I just don't know if I, and also I think she possibly might be like super annoying.
Annoying?
Like, the one that's like the loudest at the party.
Yeah.
Like, she's always being the most. Like, I feel like people are going to hate me for saying this.
Like,
I'm sorry.
She's just like an excited person in general. Like, I think she's just like, you invite her around. She's like, like just laughing. And like, she's named Miley. Okay. People call her Miley because she smiled so much. And it was like they called her Smiley. And then it just turned into Miley.
Did
like,
I tell you that story when
she's She's just being Miley, like at the end of the day.
She is, but I feel like.
And
know,
like.
I feel like she's been maybe her people around her tell her. She's like, you're like Madonna. You have that kind of impact. And like, I feel like she's being told that, and I don't think she has that.
I think it's, she probably, she must have so much money. Like, she probably never has to work again.
Yeah.
If she truly chose between all her Hannah Montana shit. And then like, I feel like bangers still came out when like it really album
you
sales were a thing and you could like make money. And that tour was a successful tour. But I feel like kind of, part of what has fucked her up a little bit is that like all the backlash after bangers that came, which was like the cultural appropriation stuff,
yeah.
And blah blah blah. I mean, that may be true. I don't think that she had like a nefarious like intention with this album to like culturally appropriate.
Oh,
and I also think that it's like that album slapped. It was like a really fucking good album, but she's like, her hands are tied from doing another one that's like that.
Yeah.
Because of all the backlash that could happen. So she's in this like nebulous career sound period. Like, I did not like that like Malibu song. I thought that song was trash.
and you love Malibu,
and I'm a big
you
Malibu
and just
fan.
In Malibu today.
Yeah,
so like,
just in Malibu today. I love it there, but that song was garbage.
But like, I know I'm older, so like I don't get it. But like, are we supposed to, as a society, was like Liam Hemsworth? And her, was that supposed to mean something? Was that like Nicole and Tom? Like, was that
no.
like a big relationship that I was supposed to, like, that we're all supposed to care about?
No, it had gone on for so long, and then they were engaged for a long time, and then like randomly got married. I feel like the second that they got married, I was like, oh, this is probably over soon.
I told you about that time she was at Tom Tom, and she was in the back room,
oh, yeah.
And I sat, like, my buddy got like a really good table next to Lisa. And Miley was at the table, and it was Miley and like all her team, and she was like vaping constantly, and she got Lisa to dance on the table with her, and I was like this is like watching a good episode of Vanderpump Rules, like,
yeah.
This is so much better than last season. And then remember, like, I told, like, Sandoval was like, he like came out and he started popping and locking, and then they called DJ James Kennedy because she was a huge DJ James Kennedy fan.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, this is nuts. And like, then the dogs got on the table, and I was like, this can't be healthy. And like, it was truly wild. Like, it was, I'd never seen anything. And that's like, I like Miley for that. Like, that I like.
I think Miley is high energy, loves a good time, loves to party. I think a lot, and especially on what's been on my mind lately in a video that I revisited, was when she smoked salvia. Do you remember that?
Oh my God, not until you just said it this moment. Wait, did you ever smoke salvia?
Yeah.
I never, that's so scary to me.
In college, I did.
I was called the Salvia Queen.
It was fucking insane. Like, I wouldn't do it again.
Because you just completely lose.
I mean, I full blown, I hallucinated. And I've like done mushrooms or acid to the point where it's like shit gets really wavy. But I've never fully gone into a 100% of my reality as a hallucination, and I did on salvia. And you, what happens?
But
it's
so quick, though, right?
It's quick. Like, it feels like it's like 5 or 10 minutes, but it's really like 20 seconds or something. Like, it's crazy. Like,
and but you like go on a lifetime journey.
Yeah, like you inhale as much as you can, and then hold it.
See, I would fake inhale. I'd be like, "This, I got so much."
Then you exhale when you just can't hold it anymore, and like partway through your exhale is when like a trip will start. So like I smoked it, and I was with like a group of people because you can buy it at a gas station. So we like went and got it at like a gas station or like a head shop, and then like all sat around in a circle and smoked salvia. And like one by one, and then would like describe what we saw. It was like, what an artist salon. And I inhale, like we've smoked it out of like a little bowl that class. Like that you could smoke pot out of, and inhaled. And as I exhaled, I saw Goofy pop up.
Oh, no.
Out of the corner of my eye. He goes, and then he grabbed like the corner of my vision, like it was a curtain, and pulled it across.
No.
And I was just in space then. He literally pulled up my world like it was two dimensional. And then I was in space, just like hurtling through space. Every cartoon character I've ever known about.
I had no clue you were this into cartoons.
Was me neither. It was like flying by like Garfield and like Bugs Bunny cool. And like Strawberry Shortcake.
But it was scary. It wasn't comforting.
No, it was cool. I was like into it. Oh. I was like, this is a fucking journey, man. And then like they're all flying by and I was like, whoa.
And you know you're on salvia or do you?
I knew I was pretty fucked up.
No,
I think when Goofy comes and he pulls your you're like,
yeah,
okay.
No,
that's
obviously.
So
it
is what it is. So then I was like flying through space and then I see in the distance like this thing, this shiny thing that's like spinning around, and I get closer and closer to it and I see it's a diamond, like a big huge diamond just in the middle of space.
Hope it's not a blood diamond.
And it was turning around as I got closer. Every facet of the diamond was a scene out of my life that I was watching on the diamond. And then I was like, oh my God, like my
the
life
human
is like
mind
this
is fascinating.
Diamond. It like, was it, cool. I was like, this is meaningful. And then I just like stared at my diamond.
How do you not
life.
Just like ball?
Yeah, I was just like, wow, this is fucking deep as shit. And then I kind of came out of it. And then I was like, wow, I'll never forget that. It was like, it was truly as vivid as a movie. Like the pulling, and the craziest thing was the pulling up of your world. Like, just like, it
was
cool.
So, I mean, I remember watching a video, like, cause that was like big watching like the salvia videos of like people. Did you ever see that one
the
where the guy
the
and the girl, and he just like, he just jumped out the window?
Oh, no, I haven't seen that
one. You haven't
one.
Seen that one? The guy jumps, like, the, not jumps, but, like, they do it. They're videotaping themselves doing it. They're facing a couch. they're sitting on a couch, facing out. The camera's facing them. And they do it. And the guy literally stands up, goes to the left, opens, like, the windshield, the blinds, and then just, like, hops out of the window. And then the girl's, like, going, ha, 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 and then she's like, she like looks to the left. She's just like, what the fuck? You know, like he jumped out of a window.
Yeah, that's fucking scary. I mean, and that happens to people on a lot of hallucinogens sometimes. Like, I mean, I knew a kid that I went to boarding school with that did a bunch of acid and then jumped off a cliff and died.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
The first time I did acid was a couple years ago, and like it was at this is very basic. It was at Coachella, and my buddy had like we were all like the group of people, the same people that I was at this weekend at the house. We had all not done it except for this guy Rich, who actually is like I got to tell you about him because he's one of those conspiracy theorists.
Love.
I think I told you about this guy.
He believes
he's the guy that thinks everybody's transvestite or transsexual.
Okay.
That he thinks the Illuminati has set it up so that like Angelina Jolie he goes, do you find her hot? You know she's a man, right? And like we were staying together at a wedding and he made me watch these transvestigation videos on YouTube. Like YouTube should like be shut down or at least take the weekends off, you know? And he goes, what happens is that they'll put you, because he was saying, you want to know what's going on with Lindsey Graham? Well, I'll tell you what. He goes, the Illuminati gets you. They put you in a room and they're like, put a gun to your family member's head. And they say, if you don't fuck this boy right now, we'll kill your fucking wife. And
so they make you have sex.
They'll make you have sex with the boy, but film it. So they have it against you.
Okay.
So this is how the Illuminati works, people.
How does that come into play with like a trans journey?
So the trans journey is interesting because what they do is like they took Angelina Jolie when she was...
I like that you call her Angelina.
I find her very exotic. And what they do is they make she didn't want to be a woman. She wanted to be, but they changed her into a woman
when she was what, like,
see, that's what
a
I
baby?
Like, see, you ask these questions because then I'm like, dude, if the Illuminati was doing all this stuff, like, you know, there'd be a paper trail. Like, who is the janitor at the Illuminati headquarters? Like, you know, somebody would talk because he also thinks
like they're literal photos of Angelina as like a little girl. So I'm like,
but he's also
choose someone.
He's also a Michelle Obama's a man person.
Classic.
And he goes, dude, look. He goes, look at this. And he showed me this video of like Joan Rivers like 3 weeks before she died being stopped by TMZ. And like she's going in and they say something about like, will we ever have a male first lady? And she goes, we already do, Michelle Obama. And he goes, right there. She died 3 weeks later. She says this, then Joan Rivers dies 3 weeks later. You don't think that's a coincidence? And I'm like, I think that is completely a coincidence. And Joan Rivers is like you know, a Catskills comedian,
yeah.
Like, so, but anyways, like the moon is a base. It's not the moon.
Oh yeah.
Like they have
it's like a facade or something.
Well, yeah, it's a facility.
Yeah.
But like everybody's transsexuals. Like then like,
what is the point for a conspiracy theorist what's the big,
well, sinister, they're
like,
trying
okay,
to destabilize.
So everyone's trans, so then, but for what?
I don't see.
And why would that be bad to them?
See, sometimes when these stories happen, you're just so shocked you're being told the story that
you don't
all of a sudden come
question.
Up. Because then it's like afterwards, you're like, wait a sec. I mean, like, and then you're like, he's like so impassioned. Like, we had like.
I had a friend that was really into, like, she's really into the moon as the base.
Yeah.
But then
we gotta get these guys together.
Yeah, and then also really into like lizard people.
Yeah, Justin Bieber's a lizard person.
So she was having me watch these videos where it would show the flash of some celebrity's eyes to prove that they're really lizard people. Like there's one
like the end of
with like Katy
video.
Perry where it's like, look right there, see your eyes?
Yeah,
it's a and then she was a lizard, and then I was like, what the fuck?
Have
you
ever read those firsthand accounts of like I watched Bieber turn into a lizard? Like I've read first person accounts of like he lizarded out in front of me for 30 seconds.
Like a friend is saying this?
No, not my friend. Like, have you ever gone down that rabbit hole where it leads to first person accounts of people?
No, I haven't.
Oh,
you're
for a horrible treat.
Who would? I'm sure it's all like on Reddit.
Also,
like
it's 4chan. Just I'm sure it's all fake anyway. I mean, wait. It is fake. Justin Bieber is not a lizard.
Sure, it's
Justin
fake.
Bieber is not a lizard person.
No, but I don't believe in lizard people. I think that it's like, I don't believe in like any of the trans stuff, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, no.
And like
just one
I don't
time
have
I want
a necessary.
To be
I don't
true.
Even know like an opinion on that as like what it would be, just aside from like just pure transphobia.
It's gotta be really scary to have those thoughts.
Yeah, but like that just reads as like transphobic whatever to me. But like yeah, the kind of like the rumors, it's interesting, like the rumors about like Pizzagate and like all that kind of stuff.
Well,
I think that what's wild is that like, yeah, that's like feels very at the time is like so out of left field, and you're just like, what the fuck, you guys are idiots, like blah blah blah. But now with the Epstein stuff, you're like,
see,
oh okay,
that's,
there's
that's,
some sort of parallel. But I think that it's like, it's not as any of that stuff is that's happening in real life. And I think you've probably been in like a traumatic situation or something, but like when you're going through a trauma or hearing about trauma, it's always like less movie-ish and wild than like
it's so it much
seems in the moment. And I think with these conspiracy theories, it's like, yeah, you would think like, oh my god, there's like fucking Pizzagate and like an underground sex ring of devil worshippers.
But
it's just like, no, it's happening in plain sight with like people just wearing like sweatpants. Like it's not like, it's actually like very run of the mill, and that's almost, it's like so inconceivable that you have to go completely to the like craziest part of your being to like make up the story and mythology behind it, when actually it's just like, no, it's as easy as like getting someone to buy plane tickets for children,
giving somebody $300 to give you a massage that leads to something else.
Yeah,
you know?
And it's like, it's not, so they're not super, I mean, they are really off in a lot of ways, but not that fucking far
off.
Well,
they're releasing all those, like, the Epstein stuff, like, the Daily, I love the Daily Mail. Like,
love
it's like,
the Daily
it's
Mail.
The
they're
Bible
doing the
to
work
me.
That needs to be done.
You know what? The only thing that sucks about the Daily Mail, though, is, like, you know, because, like, I really treat it like a real news source.
Yeah, if something happens, you know where I go first? The Daily fucking Mail.
I mean, I used to be a TMZ guy first, and now I'm a full-on Daily Mail guy first.
Yeah.
Is that weird? Like, I'm a Daily Mail guy. But, like,
what?
I thought you were trying to cheers me. I'm like, okay, no. But when you're watching Daily Mail and then you read, like, because they're not the best at spelling. Like, when you release.
They have a lot of spelling
errors.
And
then you immediately
they're
wake up.
They're turning out content so quickly.
But
who has time?
It's just like, I need it to be corrected, because then I automatically am, like, forced to be like, fuck, this is the Daily Mail. Like,
yeah.
You feel ashamed then, because you're like, I would have caught that.
Yeah.
But I'm like such an, like, there's so many great Epstein articles on there. And what I'm shocked about is how like cluttery and not well decorated his houses were. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it was like, you think in all these stories, it'd be like this very like cold, clean, like just very state of the art everything. And it's just like, it just seems like a bunch of knickknacks everywhere. And he's like, he has a bunch of new drawings and like horrible frames. And like, it doesn't,
yeah,
and also I still think he's alive.
You still? Oh, so you're like,
I see. This is the
truther.
One part where I'm like, it just, none of this makes sense. And like,
well, I was reading last night that guy Louis Brunel,
yes,
has disappeared.
Everybody,
without a trace, seemingly without a trace. They said it in a very French way, because I asked a bunch of French people and they were like, he has disappeared seemingly without a trace, and like. And so he's gone, which is like, he's probably either dead or whisked away somewhere, but maybe dead.
But how is Ghislaine?
Do you know how you actually pronounce her name? Ghislaine.
Oh, that's much better.
Isn't
than
that I've wild?
Ghislaine. Old Ghislaine.
I know.
Get old Ghislaine,
like,
in here.
Name. But then I was listening to an episode of The Daily that covered the
Yeah, I listened to that, yeah.
But they called her Ghislaine.
Yeah.
It's Ghislaine, which actually is
I refuse to give into that kind of stuff. Her name's Ghislaine.
She'll always be Ghislaine to me.
But like, she's here in Los Angeles, right?
No, I think that was a fake photo.
Oh.
She's, I think, allegedly in Boston.
Trying to throw off the scent.
But then she also is someone that may.
But shouldn't she be arrested?
Soon.
Like, shouldn't,
but
like,
but she, I think, had an immunity deal from his, like,
oh,
sweetheart,
from
the original sweetheart deal that he somehow. I'm also like, this investigation goes beyond even,
like, it involves
like
presidents
names,
and stuff.
Yeah, like, it goes beyond even the names of like all the women that worked for him, because there was a New York Times article that outlined everyone's role in the child trafficking ring. And it's like all these women and like who they report to and blah, blah, blah. But this goes into like the DA of Miami, all the like law enforcement and that sweetheart plea. How on earth, with the kind of evidence that they had, are you able to then broker a deal that grants your entire like
And all the people that are part of this operation, you're able to go away from jail for the day.
Yeah, like not only his deal, but then they are immune from the four ladies that were procuring girls
got immunity deals.
Yeah, and it's just like, that is fucked up. Like, something that needs to be under investigation. Like, I think so many people have a hand in this that it probably will go nowhere.
This is the one time where I'm like, I usually don't buy into conspiracies, but this, like...
So you think he's alive?
Okay, so, well, I... Okay. I just don't see how, like, two guards were asleep on somebody the highest profile. They did, like, El Chapo. This is the jail that... kept El Chapo, who like escaped and all this stuff.
Jail, like,
so,
times.
But you're telling me they let their guard down for Jeffrey Epstein, who was on suicide watch, who involved presidents, Clinton, Trump. Like, he, you know, he has photos with all of these people. Like, there's just, how does everybody fall asleep at the right time? The cameras don't work at the right time. Like, so either he was murdered. He paid off people so he could kill himself, which I hear is not in his. He was so so into himself that that is a shocking thing to realize that he would commit suicide. But if you're a billionaire, there has to be a number that everybody has that you could potentially, and like also presidents might be involved, where it's like, okay, well, I do have video of you with one of these girls, like, mm-hmm. then that I would imagine that president or something would do everything in their power to make sure this person. Anyways, there was a video on Twitter today, and this sounds stupid as I say it out loud, but there were like somebody flew a drone over his pedophile island today or yesterday before
Little
the
Saint
hurricane.
James, yeah,
and
oh, yeah,
at 2 minutes in, they have a shot of like what looks like Jeffrey Epstein. Telling people telling workers what to do, and there's a freeze frame photo of it that looks exactly, and there's like a full like 4 minute video, and most of it's not him, it's like going over the island.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, like, I know this all sounds silly as I say it out loud, but like, it just seems like this goes so high up and you have so much money, like, I don't know, it just seems like he wouldn't just be, if he got a sweetheart deal, like deals were out of play, so he would pay everybody off to potentially be able to escape. And then that photo of him like being like taken out of like,
yeah, where the nose,
well, like,
and the
how does everybody know to
up?
Take like, you just randomly got a photo of an uncovered face, which they would cover up the face if he was dead, and then I know this sounds silly, but the ears didn't match,
and then the nose didn't match.
I don't know,
I think I don't know what to think.
So you agree with me, he's alive.
I now want to agree with you.
But then I was thinking, if he is alive, then how is he going to, like, he seems like he had an obsession with young women. Like, he's not going to be able to keep that going. So in a way, he should just kill himself. Like, he's not going to be able to keep doing that shit.
It made sense to me that he killed himself. Like, Chris Black was, like, saying something where he's like, I think someone gave him the thing that's like, you got to just, like, eh. Like, and
but
we'll
wouldn't you give like wouldn't you get a
so
poison
that,
pill then, not like strangulation? Like, and also, no. Do you know how hard that would be to like in that jail cell that like the
Don't
Daily Mail the Daily Mail posted a like a you know a diagram of like what
Don't
was
you
in
have a
the
sheet jail. Or your shirt? I feel like you can strangle yourself with anything. I feel like strangling yourself to death is not that difficult because so many men have done it, like,
oh, for autoerotic asphyxiation.
Yeah, and then it accidentally like goes a little too far and then they're gone. I mean, I feel like that's better than a poison pill where
do you know
inside,
anybody that's like autoerotic asphyxiation heads, like,
no.
Loves it, like,
mm-mm.
Yeah, I don't think I wonder if I do know anybody. I mean, it's not something you probably just openly
you don't
talk
lead
about.
With that in conversation.
Hey,
but like,
oh, yeah, that's somebody's Tinder profile into AE
and not just the network. I do love intervention.
Like, I want to, and like, then like, are there autoerotic asphyxiation people that like want to include their partner in on it? Like, watch me do this.
I think like. Or your partner strangles you.
Yeah, that was an idiotic question. I'm sorry. That's
Should we
right.
do some reader mail?
Yeah, I think that would probably be best. I'm sorry.
That would be best. I think it would be good for everyone involved if we did some reader mail. Right now. Dear Dear Lara and guest, longtime Lawler, first time caller. This isn't a question, just a truly babe story that I just remembered and feel compelled to share for some reason. The year is 2009. I just graduated from college and moved to Austin. One of my best friends was visiting. We were doing what Austinites do best, getting absolutely hammered during an extended day drinking session. I'm not sure how this came about, but suddenly I was struck by a genius business idea. Twinkles. Twat sprinkles, a sex-enhancing product that makes your vagina taste like candy. Hmm. I grabbed a Sweet and Low packet from the table and sprinkled the whole thing down the front of my underwear. Smash cut to a few hours later and many more drinks. I met some random dude at the bar who comes back to my place and proceeds to get on his knees and go down on me in the parking garage of my apartment building while I'm leaned up against some random person's car. Yikes. I had totally forgotten about the packet of Sweet and Low at this point, and the guy didn't mention anything about my strangely sweet-tasting pussy. After we finished, I said thanks and went up to my apartment without him. Twinkles worked like a charm. P.S. Endlessly grateful for all your podcasts. They're keeping me on my sane journey as a 32-year-old expat in Australia struggling to find Lawler friends. XO. Wow. That is a genius idea.
That is. There is something there. Like, I thought originally she was going to say... Like, are you watching that show Euphoria on HBO?
Yeah.
Like, I was thinking it was like, I'm like that, you know, the fancy eye makeup they do?
Uh-huh.
I was thinking of that for your vagina. Like, yeah. Like that.
That's already been done. Vajazzling.
Oh.
Vajazzling was the original Euphoria makeup.
Oh, I'm yeah. I'm not that. Yeah. The history of the vagina is not,
you never
escapes me. Yeah.
Encountered a vajazzled vagina?
No. In all my travels, I've never.
Yeah. I never knew anyone that vajazzled either.
Yeah. But like the Sweet and Low thing, I could see that tipsy point where you're like, oh, this makes absolute sense. Like, yeah. This is good for everybody.
I say brand it. Maybe you have a new... I think you could really make something happen.
Like, but what would you... I mean, like, it would just be, like, glow sticks. Or not glow sticks, but, like, what's the fun dip?
Yeah, like a
like
fun dip.
Like, fun dip for your vagina. Yeah.
For private parts.
For your private parts.
Sounds like you need a lot of FDA approval for that kind of thing.
Yeah, like, because then, like, what if something, like, chemically reacts with the
There's also kinds of, like, flavored lubes and stuff, so it's, like...
Are you a big experimenter? Like, have you been a big experimenter in the past of, like...
I'm not, like, one for, like, a flavored lube or a condom.
I remember somebody being,
I don't
like,
think the flavor's ever going to be that good tasting to me. What, like, if I was going to really get a flavored something, I would just get exactly what I want, like...
Also, like, I want to eat in, like in the privacy of my own room hiding by myself. You know, like, I don't want to, like, I don't need flavors involved in sex. Like, the sex
no,
is the flavor.
It
like,
is
you
the
don't
flavor.
Need more flavors on top of it. And, like, there will be time for eating, and it's not during sex.
I mean, also, there's a, if you have to sprinkle something on your vagina to make it taste good, you might... And I'm not saying this about the reader. I think that was just like a moment
you could
of
tell
like,
she
wow.
had a cool vagina,
yeah, this is
yeah.
like a whole. I'm not knocking on your vision or your vagina,
no,
but I'm
she's
thinking
an entrepreneur.
If you're reaching for twinkles instead of just like taking a shower, then
yeah, like,
that's
what
where
if,
the problem
well,
comes
that's what
into
you don't
play.
Want the product to be a replacement yeah. for showering.
No, it's just an enhancement. It's like a perfume, but like more of like a full sensory.
Yeah,
thing.
Like you don't want to be like, didn't go home last night, but don't worry, I twinkled this
yeah,
morning.
Yeah, I twinkled.
You know, like,
no, I have some twinkle there. Hang on.
Yeah, or like, hey, girl, can I borrow your twinkle?
Yeah, no. Like, it should just be like...
Can you imagine girls like in a bathroom
it's
pouring like,
moon,
like sugar
it's
packets?
It's like moon dusts, but for your vagina. I think you really
well,
have... You're
really
on to something.
You have
here.
Really good viewer mail. Like, that was an excellent...
Oh, yeah. The readers are great. Okay, here's a long one. Dear Lara and guest, hi, my name is Please Don't Use My Name, and I overshare. I just watched the Brené Brown Netflix special while eating an entire bag of Hint of Lime Tostito chips in bed, and I was inspired to write my first reader mail in response. Longtime reader here, and it's time to share my true babedom with the most understanding of audiences. Brené famously claims that vulnerability frees us from guilt and shame, so allow me to unload my crazy on the babe community by sharing a quick synopsis of the Lifetime movie saga that's been my life for the past few years. Maybe it will get things off my chest and I'll walk away from this feeling lighter in the journey. Maybe it will make everyone else feel less babe-y in comparison. I don't think this is how vulnerability is supposed to work, but here's my condensed story. I'm the firstborn daughter of a pastor of an evangelical megachurch, very similar to Hillsong, and experienced all sorts of fun spiritual trauma, manipulation, and baggage prior to attending a semi-woke Christian college. Snaps from my fairly progressive professors who taught me things like evolution is real and other religions aren't bad, and you can be a Democrat and still be a Christian, and homosexuality isn't a choice. That kind of thing. During college, I lived with two other continent. I lived on two other continents while studying abroad and moved to a third immediately after graduation to become a missionary, but not a normal missionary, a cool hipster one who tells people about Jesus casually over lattes and works in a shelter for escaped human trafficking victims on the weekends. I was totally unqualified for this, by the way, but it was a nonprofit started by Hillsong, so what are we to expect? During this time, I date a sweet-spirited, shy Christian engineer long distance for 2 years, who I convince to marry me as soon as I move back home before he's ready, and quickly rush into a temp job to salvage my bank account in the first career industry looking for a live body to fill a position, the trucking industry. Whoa. Christian trucker. While gaining invaluable experience in things like how to maintain composure while being cursed out in a very creative, terrifying ways by a dock worker over the phone in the middle of the night. You want to interrupt?
I know this person.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. And how to safely transport hazmat materials. I got married a virgin to this true gem of a dude, knowing that if he was committed enough to date me long distance for 2 years and Skype every night, I'd never find someone more loyal, and I might as well settle down at the ripe old age of 24 before I shriveled up and died of horniness. I had a promise ring and everything, and the wokish Christian college did hunker down on matters of purity. A few years of wedded bliss follow a tearful, painful wedding night, and I focus my energies on decorating and entertaining in my home, starting a fashion blog, the unwritten yet prescribed steps in every 20-something mainstream white Christian girl's life after marrying young, followed closely by getting a dog, getting pregnant, turning said fashion blog into a mommy blog, and starting a women's Bible study while volunteering at your megachurch with lots of pumpkin spice lattes and blanket scarves and calligraphy-lettered inspirational quotes in between. Wow. All is well in paradise until I begin to realize that I'm now on the complete opposite end of the political spectrum that I was when I entered college. I don't want a dog. I don't want a kid. And I don't really like most of the Bible aside from the Jesus stuff. I decide what I do want more than PSLs and Target runs an experiment with sex and lots of it with lots of different dudes. What most people do in high school / college. I couldn't shake the curiosity, and men were easy to charm for me. I'm only like a 6 by LA standards, but in central Pennsylvania, I'm a solid 8. Every feminist bone in my body regrets that last sentence, but I need you to get the idea. It was easy to find a willing party, and I'd had plenty of offers while still wearing a wedding ring on work trips. By this time, I found my way into a job I truly liked in higher education, one that required significant independent travel to major cities on the East and West Coast. At first, I cheat, tearfully tell the sweet, dutiful husband right away and promise to never do it again, only to shortly thereafter convince him to enter an open marriage with me so that I can do it again without that pesky line part that took all the fun out of my exploits. I wasn't unhappy with my husband, but it just didn't seem like enough somehow. I wanted variety and more excitement without the cheating aspect. I knew he was too shy to do much, but he's progressive and liked the freedom as well. Cue my hoe phase, where I sleep with so many people in a 6-month period that I can't keep them all straight, and I convince myself it'll be fine because I'm a responsible adult who still has a few standards left. I demand to see everyone's paperwork and demand that we both use protection on top of getting a birth control implant. Of course, I still wind up with an STD shortly thereafter, missed that day in health class where they mentioned condoms don't save you from all genital woes, decided to try anal with a 53-year-old bro, and hated all 2 seconds of it before deciding that's an exit only for me, dog. Wind up getting assaulted for the first time in a weird gray area Aziz kind of way that's tricky to address, and spontaneously drop the L word on an eccentric divorcee who lives on a sailboat while caught up in the moment during half-decent sex in the missionary position. So the open marriage thing was a smashing success. 10/10 would recommend if you want to spend the rest of your life in therapy. I start drinking a lot of whiskey. I start smoking. I start watching porn for the first time ever. Okay, seriously, I know that sounds crazy, but I couldn't even watch The Simpsons in middle school. I feel you. I wasn't allowed to watch The Simpsons either.
To watch it either.
Then I freak out that my life is, quote, spiraling, tell my husband that I never want to have kids and I want to move to a tiny home and spend the rest of my life traveling the world. Then I proceed to move to a tiny cabin in the middle of the woods, aka the set of a horror film, complete with an antique dismembered mannequin on my landlord's porch. I decide to live out a Henry David Thoreau fever dream for the next few months, dedicating all my free hours to meditation, journaling, yoga, essential oils, long baths, reading inspirational books, binging Below Deck Med on Bravo. Maybe mostly the last bit wasn't planned. I'm only 2 weeks in, so there's time to course correct. My loving husband is on board. Love that you're still married through all this. My loving husband is on board with this and prepared to stay together through it all, even though he does want kids and doesn't really want to travel, downsize, etc., but is willing to try to compromise. He seems to be cool with keeping the marriage open while I figure all this out, but I'm kind of over it, to be completely honest. I think I got it out of my system, and managing a bench with all those dudes was getting kind of stressful. Meanwhile, I'm still working on my day job that I actually do like, where I wine and dine millionaires, asking them for hundreds of thousands of dollars at a time to set up college scholarship funds, and I moonlight as a solo piano bar musician, noticeably making tip money in proportion to how much skin I decide to show on any given weeknight. It helps pay the bills, which are higher now in my new chic minimalist hermit lifestyle, where I now have to rent payment on top of my contribution to our existing mortgage. Don't hate me for having to suspend my Patreon subscription temporarily. I'll be back. I guess that pretty much sums it up. I'm planning to move back into my home with my husband in November, but I need to do some serious inner work to figure out the right path from here on out. So I guess my question is, how do I turn this babe of a year into a babe of a fourth quarter 2019 and 2020? We all know 2020 will be a troll if Trump gets reelected, especially living in the middle of a swing state. So I really need the rest of my life to be at least somewhat in order. Please give me all of the general advice and tips on how to actually detox my life in the next 2.5 months. I have this in this teeny cabin in rural Pennsylvania. I'm trying to have a sense of humor about this life journey, and I'm trying to be respectful to my partner, who's really stood by me through a lot, but sometimes it's overwhelming and I'm just filled with too many extremes. What do you suggest trying to add to my daily routine to embody my inner babe? Note, I've been in individual therapy for a few years and couples therapy for about 6 months. I love the concept of therapy, and I think my therapists are pretty good at what they do, but I just don't know if it's been helpful beyond having a place to talk things out. Thanks in advance.
Whoa.
P.S. Lara, dying for you to tell us what your Enneagram number is. Have you taken it? Blah, blah, blah. Yes. Okay. I have taken Enneagram tests. I like paid to take both the tests through their yeah. website, and I'm a 7.
In fact, weirdly enough, this girl tried to get me to take an Enneagram. So this is halfway through this letter. First off, it would be crazy if you were like, my advice is, join back up on the Patreon.
Yeah. I'm like, first things first, get back on the Patreon. It's actually a really good deal.
I was listening and it was like halfway through when you said like the trucking thing. And I was like, oh, I have a friend that used to work at a trucking that was like a Bible thing that did like that helped with human trafficking.
Like,
I was
like, in the meme. And then I was just like, oh my
God. Like, and then it all, and I did like, I, this, the, I mean, this is all.
So, you know, this babe.
And I have like, for like, this is all true. Like, yeah. This is like, she's really at a cabin in the woods doing all of this stuff. Like, she has like this agenda of like meditating, reading spiritual books, like trying to like, and like, she's going through it. Like, yeah. So I'm really curious what you will say about this, because she's putting herself through a lot of stuff. And it's, I speak from personal experience, is that like breakups are like really hard. Like, yeah. You know, marriages are really hard, and like, you know, and sometimes they don't work out, and that's okay.
Yeah. I mean, I guess my advice or thoughts were really like, it sounds like, from the sound of the reader mail, it sounds like the husband is still down, shockingly still down with all these antics, which is like, I guess when you're in a, like typically, or not typically, but like the idea of marriage is that you both are like, whatever happens to you, like, I'm fucking here for it. And like, you do the same thing with the other person. Does that happen in real life and like work out all the time? About 50-50. But like, at some point I'm thinking like, do you still really want to be married to this person? It sounds like maybe you don't. Like, and then also like, maybe you want to check in with this guy because he might not even want to be married to you, but feels like he kind of has to be. Or
no,
like,
he does.
Okay.
Like, yeah. Sorry. I mean, like, I do
well,
know.
Well, I was just like, is this, I mean, I just don't, I'm like, it sounds like you guys have a lot of communication, but then sometimes in some relationships, it.
Well, like, imagine going through all that whole story and then like having it work out, like you know, going through that whole journey, like,
yeah,
that's like open marriage.
What, this I mean, was I, married, the reader was married young, right?
Yes, like, but that's 24. The thing, like, she I feel in some ways she was having that experience that a lot of us had earlier in life.
Yeah,
she just had to have that during her marriage.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, like, it also scares me that, like, what if she's putting herself through all of this and it's just that, like, maybe they're not meant to be, you know, like, maybe it's not the best for both of them. Like, and I don't know the answer to that, but like, what if you put yourself, like, you're at a cabin in the woods training like Rocky in a montage, mm-hmm. you know, like trying to better yourself every day. And like, what if the answer is just way more simple than that?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what good it does. Like, why all this self-improvement has to be done apart from your partner. But I also get it, because I'm like, I like I understand like independence and blah blah blah. I don't know.
But also, it's imagine how scary that's got to be though, to like start that process and you're having a bunch of sex and everything's great and it's like fun and it's like, wow, like, this is like enjoyable, like,
yeah,
it's fun to be loved. And like, and then it kind of like, you then get the other side
dark,
of it,
yeah,
where like people do like tend to like assault or push further than you would want. People like that, like, to me is very, it's, you know, scary.
It's scary and sucks, but it's also kind of unfortunately a part of real life and a part of like a lot of women's sexual experiences.
That,
and like, so you're getting, I think, the best and the worst of that world. I don't know. It's like, you're like the prodigal son or something like that. Like, you're on this journey. I don't think I.
But also imagine if you were that brought up in the church.
Yeah.
And your dad is a pastor and your dad, you know, like, that does also have to play such a huge part in your mind. Because like, even when, like, you know, when me and my wife didn't work out, I have a you know, my sister's a mega church person, and mm-hmm. she still, I mean, like, they'll be like, literally, like, God wants you, God wanted you to stay together. Like, you,
yeah,
you, like, that literally you made a, you know, God is not in approval of this.
I know, and then that's where, like, well, even I go back, like, to, because I grew up very much like marriage is a sacred thing between a man and a woman, and like, it's forever, and God wants you guys to be together and stuff. And so even I go back into that frame of thinking when I think about this, which was like, oh, do you guys just like work it out, or are you together forever? And even part of me thinks that, like, and I think this is a little bit naive because I've never been married, nor have I even come close to being married, but like,
married to your career.
Thinking, yeah, just like married to myself at Burning Man. No. But like, like, my thinking is like, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it forever. But everyone thinks that. Like,
yeah,
why,
I mean,
would
nobody
you
goes
get
into
going,
you
don't go into
marriage
being like,
I'll give this a couple years tops.
I'm down to do this until like I really need to fuck like a lot of guys at once.
Well,
yeah.
there's no part of, yeah, there's no part of you that goes into a marriage thinking this will end eventually.
Yeah.
Like, I really, really thought it would last forever.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so there is like this natural thing of like, you're, the floor drops out. Like, you're just like, well, now I'm just like floating in space because I didn't plan. Everything that I planned for my life is not how I thought my life. And on top of that, being an actor, which is like a whole nother fuck show. Like, so it is a really scary place to be when like all your constants in your life are gone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is that you're like, oh, like, okay, so like, did, I don't know. It's just a really hard thing because you're trying to do the right thing, or it seems like she's trying to do the right thing, but you really have no concept of what that is.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think the problem is, I don't think the reader is the problem here. Maybe it's just like the concept of marriage is the problem here. And like marriage as an institution is like the biggest problem.
I was explaining to a friend that I thought really good friends with, and you know, I know she had had a little bit of a crush on me or something, and I really had to like. It is weird to be in a place where I used to believe in like marriage and all that stuff so much. Like mm-hmm. I thought I really was that like person that's like no. Forever is forever, and da da da. And then you
realize your parents are married, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So, but by the way, I love my parents dearly, but I don't think they necessarily should still be married. You know, like, yeah. Like I've grown to enjoy them more and more as I get older. But mm-hmm. like, they bicker all the time. They like, I still get uncomfortable, like I did as a kid, like when you know your parents bicker. And
yeah.
But I remember telling her just like, you don't like. Okay, say we go out. Like, that's not, you don't want that. Like, be my friend. Like, that's going to last the rest of your life. If you really like me, that's the way to go. Because I'm really in a place right now where I don't think, I'm scared that relationships won't last.
Yeah.
That scares me sometimes, yeah. You know? Yeah. Sorry if that got depressing.
No, it's just like, it's a conundrum. I mean, what? The reader's what, like 28 now?
Yeah, 29. Probably around that age, yeah.
I don't know. I think it's just a lot of questioning to do is like, do you really love the person you're with? Do you want to be with this person and like be in a marriage and make a marriage work with this person? Then you're going to have to like buck the fuck up and compromise on some stuff.
That is the thing too.
Really just the thing is like, do you really want to be with this person? Or if you don't, then you've got to the biggest, kindest thing you can do is to get out of the marriage.
And then can you respect the guy that hung around for all this? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
I think you can if you really love them and you're like, okay, I'm going to work this out, because there has to be, I think that would just kind of go hand in hand with recommitting and being, and not even like recommitting in the sense that you like close your relationship or whatever, but recommitting in the sense that it's like, we're going to live together again and like kind of figure this out from square one.
I mean, if it works, it seems like then
hell
it's
yeah,
amazing. You know, yeah. It just, and I also am impressed with anybody that really gives the thought and work to anything. You know, like that, mm-hmm. like really, like I really want to try to do the right thing. I really want to try. You know, like I just like that seems like so much work to put in.
Yeah,
like so.
But there's
much
also
work.
No shame in like getting divorced.
That I mean.
Then you're just like a chic divorcee.
I mean, but by the way, yeah.
With your entire life ahead of you, if you're, I mean, whatever age
yeah,
you are.
She's like a great singer. She's like, you know, like she's.
she's a great singer.
By the way, if you are a great singer, you can write your own ticket in this world.
Mm-hmm.
You've seen A Star Is Born.
Okay, wow. Big words, but yeah. Go for it. So you seem to think you're of the persuasion of like, call it.
Okay, but see, I'm in a I
but you're in unique,
I think I'm in a bad like position where I like just kind of you know, I just if you guys are causing each other pain and it's like, and you're still questioning this over many years or like multiple times, I still get worried that like, hey, then maybe that's not your person, or maybe there's a person for a year. Maybe there's a person, like people come into your life and they mean something so much,
yeah.
And they're at the perfect time. And like, I think as you get older, you realize that there's like nothing. I don't know. I'm scared that nothing lasts forever.
Nothing does. Life is impermanence.
Yeah, like so you have to like kind of be okay with that in some sense, and then like, I don't know. I do really like. I love. I don't know. That's why you do love your friends so much, because you don't have like. It is just. I don't know. It's just something. I don't know. I feel like that is forever to me now.
Mm-hmm.
Like friends are forever. Like
friends
those people I was with this weekend, like those are my forever friends, yeah. You know, and they love me warts and all. And no matter like if somebody on the internet hates me
mm-hmm.
or if somebody doesn't like me on this podcast, no matter what, I know those people will love me no matter what.
Yeah.
You know,
totally. Make some friends in rural Pennsylvania.
Just move.
Yeah. I don't know. I hope you feel better after writing this email. And there's no judgment. I'm truly a little stumped.
And I'm sorry this was me, because it probably doesn't help that you already know my...
Is the reader going to be like, fuck?
I think the reader will be surprised that I was the guest.
I hope you're not surprised, but Ryan will not reveal your identity to me, nor has he. So it's like totally fine. You're still...
It's Tana.
It's Tana.
Yeah, Tana. Yeah,
break up Tana. With Logan. Or break up with Jake.
What if
break
this was about Jake Paul and Tana?
Yeah. Oh my God. We could only be so lucky.
It's one of the Southern Charm cast.
I hope that this felt like a release. You should definitely don't feel ashamed. I feel like everyone goes through these types of questioning periods, whether it's in relationships or anything, and like there's nothing to be ashamed of here. You're just living
God,
your
no.
truth.
I mean, no. Like, yeah. How can you be ashamed when you're actually giving it this much thought? Like, you're treating it very seriously.
Whatever comes out of this is what's meant to come out of it, if that makes any sense. As vague as it is, just like,
I just pray that she's satisfied with whatever answer she gets.
She has to be. You have to be.
But you know, like those, like I just like there are moments in your life that haunt you for the rest of your life. I just hope that like she can come on the other end of this with like chest held high, like I did everything I could, and like happiness.
I would argue that if a moment is haunting you for the rest of your life, that's more your, like, that's just like your problem that you have to get over, because you
bye can- Laura, bye, have a good night. Okay, well I guess we're all perfect here. Yeah,
we're out of here. We're gonna move on to the bonus episode where we can talk more about the moments that haunt us for the rest of our lives. And reader, I would sign back up for Patreon because it's pretty reasonable at $5 per month for bonus episodes.
We're gonna
episodes.
Tell you the real answer on the Patreon episode.
Yeah, sorry, but like I think I'm coming up with a really good idea that you'll only be able to hear if you become a Patreon person again. So hope to see you on there. For those of you who are intrigued or patrons, go to patreon.com/babepodcast. $5 a month gets you weekly bonus episodes. Ryan and I are gonna continue our conversation on there. And then as far as this episode goes, we're pretty much done.
Can I mention one thing that I'm doing?
Yeah, no,
really
I was
quick?
Gonna then say
okay.
Thank you so much for being my guest.
Like, if everybody could download Counting Crows' first three albums, that would be amazing.
Durrits needs back. The yeah. streams, man.
Let's get Durrits trending this week. No, I used to be on a podcast called Realizing Stuff. Unfortunately, that is over now. And I am actually starting a new podcast called So Bad It's Good with Ryan Bailey, which should be out in the next couple weeks. So if anybody is interested in anything that I do, you can follow me at RyanBailey25 on Twitter and Instagram. I mainly shitpost on Twitter. I'm just like, it's a lot of dad jokes, but whatever. But I'll put up there what I'm doing. And if any of you guys are so inclined, it would be awesome if you subscribed and gave it a listen when it came out.
Yeah, check it out. It's going to be good. It's
I
a
think
great
it's
name.
Good. You're going to be on it
yeah,
eventually.
I'm going to
yes.
be on it. Yes. yes. So I co-sign. And with that, bye. Babe?
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.